welcome to Haunt Weekly.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction, haunted entertainment industry. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we are back once again.
Yes.
It is a weekly podcast, and we're back on our correct schedule this time.
We are.
After a couple of Tuesday podcasts,
yes,
which we don't trust those no good Tuesday podcasts, we're back on our Monday. Remember, the cats are having some fun outside. Cats have decided to join us today. Maybe we should ask their opinion on this week's topic.
Yeah.
But regardless, we are back on the correct schedule. All is right in the universe. Balance has been restored. So yes, we are doing quite well. And I seem to be feeling a lot better.
Yay!
Now, I will say I still have a little bit of a nagging cough that I keep coughs around for some reason.
Yeah.
I get a cold and I'll kick the cold. I'll feel better. I have my energy, but the cough will stick around and it's annoying.
It is.
So I apologize if I cough a little bit during this, but believe me, compared to the abject misery I was in a few weeks ago, mucho bettero.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's Spanish for better, right?
Yeah, that's totally not.
And maybe I should do a lingo or something.
Maybe.
But in all seriousness,
I just went past 300 days on Spanish on that. So.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
But yes, I am doing much, much better. But yes, do keep in touch with us and keep following us. If you do not yet, please track the progress of this cold and cough.
I'm sure that's what everyone wants to know.
Engaging storyline that's developing here. You can find us at hauntweekly.com, on Facebook at Haunt Weekly, and Twitter at Haunt Weekly. Like, share, subscribe, all that good stuff that I'm supposed to tell you to do. Because I am a good old social media whore.
Yes, you are.
All right. This week's topic is a personal one to us.
Yes.
We're still working on getting our interviews together. And we should be able to have some of these coming up in the coming months. But a lot of people are very, very busy right now.
Yeah, including us.
Including us. And also, some of the people we were going to reach out to are in Florida.
Right.
And as we are recording this, literally as we're recording this, the eyeball of Hurricane Irma is making landfall near Naples, I believe it was.
Yeah.
So, thoughts, prayers, all that stuff to our friends in Florida. If there's anything we can do, if you need to get out, you make your way to New Orleans, let us know.
Yeah.
We will help you out any way we can. We are a community, and we will look out for you.
And anywhere north, because it seems like this storm's going to keep its strength for a while.
Yeah, it's going to keep its strength. It's going to impact the northern part of the state and also into Georgia, South Carolina, and
Illinois, right?
It's supposed to go all the way toward Illinois.
Yeah.
Which is just bananas. The idea of even a tropical depression in Illinois.
Right.
It gives you an idea of the size of the storm.
Yeah.
But seriously, wishing all of our friends in Florida the absolute best.
Yes.
Hoping everyone makes it out safe and sound, and that we're able to go on and have a great haunt season this year.
Yes.
So yeah, that is going on currently.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we're still working on the interviews. Promise they're coming. But this week we're doing, like I said, something a little more personal to us, and it's why we don't go pro. We've talked about it on this podcast repeatedly.
Yeah.
That we are basically overgrown home haunters.
Yes.
We take this to the nth level. We build like professionals. We fire code like professionals. We do everything like professionals.
Right.
But we don't go professional.
Right.
So we get the question all the time with the podcast, but more so from people that come to the haunt.
Right.
About why we do not go pro.
Right.
And we're going to answer that question this week as definitively as we can.
Yes.
But first thing is first, it's time for conference reminders.
It is.
It's an odd week. I believe that means you start.
Okay, I'm the oddball. Got it.
Should have figured that out by now.
Well, yeah, I knew that. October 14th and 15th, Sinister Creature Con at the Scottish Rite Center in Sacramento, California, includes all things horror, including filmmakers, makeup, haunted attraction engineers, and actors.
What they're doing there and not in their haunt?
Yep.
Damn good question.
Exactly. It's sponsored in part by Cemeterium Haunted House and Dire World Scare Park. Featured guests include Ted Raimi, Scott McDonald, Marky Ramone, and Uwe. And you can find out more at SinisterCreatureConSacramento.com.
Yeah. Now, we've already looked up their upcoming June conference.
Yes.
And I am stoked about it. It's got people from Rocky Horror. It's got people from Repo the Genetic Opera.
Right.
It's like Jonathan's musical dream. I'm not much of a musical lover, but there's a definite theme in the musicals I do cherish.
You know, it may be possible for us to actually go to that.
I know, that would be so cool.
Yeah.
If that works out. So, and keep your fingers crossed on that one.
Yes.
All right, but right after season, and this is one that like 90% of the pro haunters we know are going to.
Yeah.
And we're actually going to talk briefly about it below. It's the Legendary Haunt Tour in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, at the Crown Plaza, Philadelphia. They'll be touring the Field of Screams. You've been to AMI talks, you've heard about.
Right, exactly.
The Bates Motel and Haunted Hayride and Reaper's Revenge is still one of my favorite haunt names we've touched on in this show.
Right.
Learn more at legendaryhaunttour.com.
Okay. Then, in New Orleans, in January 12th.
Where's New Orleans at? I've never heard of this town.
Yeah. It's in Louisiana.
Somewhere in Louisiana.
It's the one in Louisiana.
not
the one in
Illinois,
like,
or Missouri,
yeah,
or whatever. Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
All right.
So, January 12th through the 15th is HauntCon Halloween and Party Expo. It's going to be, as I said here, an Ernest Memorial or Morial Convention Center. HauntCon.com for more info on that.
Yeah. And this one is going to be the first one where Halloween and Party Expo and HauntCon are truly combined.
Right.
Because remember, the Halloween Party Expo bought HauntCon shortly after the last HauntCon took place. So this will be the first combined conference. Honestly, we don't know what to expect.
No.
We are going to try to do something. What? I don't know. If you want a tour of our overgrown home haunt, you're more than free to come by. We'll try to have it ready and able. It's not very big, but hopefully you'll like what you see.
Yeah, well, you can come over and tour, and then we'll go out for drinks.
Yeah, that actually sounds like a great plan.
Yes.
But anyways, after that, March 22nd through 25th in St. Louis, Missouri, it is Transworld's Halloween and Attraction Show. Never heard of this conference before, by the way. Totally first time I've heard of it. You can learn more at the Ha Show, HAAShow.com, as details do emerge.
Right. Then, April 13th through the 15th, we have the West Coast Haunters Convention in Portland, Oregon, the Doubletree Hotel, Portland, hauntersconvention.com for more info on that.
And then finally, for this rundown, May 25th through 27th in Columbus, Ohio, it's the Midwest Haunters Convention. Kind of a regional thing going here.
It is.
And the Greater Columbus Convention Center, Midwest Haunters Convention, to learn more and keep up to date on details.
Right.
So a lot of great conferences and conventions coming up, and we're definitely going to expand our conference calendar soon.
Yes.
We usually do a big like overhaul of it after season.
Right.
For those who are still new to the show, after like early November, we go through it and it's like, okay, it's time to get everything we can to get us through pretty much the start of next season.
Exactly.
So this is just kind of a warm-up for us, if you will. Mm-hmm. But speaking of warm-up and ramping up and things like that, work is really ramping up for us.
Yeah. I mean that most people are finishing their work if they own pro haunts already.
Though I did just see a photo from the House of Shock.
Yes, I saw that too.
They're still framing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoa, I'm done with framing. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Holy crap, guys.
Yeah. You guys are going to have a hard couple of weeks.
I do not know how they're going to do it. I honestly do not know. I know they have a very, very good team. I know it's a crack team. Believe me, I'm amazed at what they can do. But Jesus!
Yeah.
Framing?
Yeah.
In September?
Yeah. It's a little nuts.
But, you know, home lot was framed in August.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, but yes, we are working every weekend and every night. Basically, right now, if we are not working on this podcast, working in our day jobs, or sleeping,
yes,
we're working on the haunt or something haunt-related.
Right.
So, yeah, we are finishing everything from construction, decorating, to marketing and actor recruiting, nailing down absolutely everything. We've got a long 2 months or so ahead of us. We're only open for 3 nights at the end of season.
Right.
Which is a big thing that comes up later.
Yes.
But still, it is a lot of work ahead for us, as I know it is for all of us in this industry in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
So, yeah. But, so, since this work is ramping up for us, this is the time of year where people get to see what we put into the haunt.
Right.
People drive by. In fact, we're already getting people driving by and trying to sneak peeks into the garage.
Yeah.
It's that time of year where cars... It's always funny because we live on a court, basically.
Right.
So we don't get a lot of traffic. That's one of the really great things about where we live is like we don't have to worry about blocking traffic that much.
Yeah.
So we can kind of get away with a little more. So, but we don't get a lot of traffic, and the traffic that usually does like, we're getting off this lame-ass court. We're going to go to a real street, you know? They don't usually, like, aren't going very slow, you know what I'm saying?
And we usually know all the cars that are coming down this street.
There's like 12.
Yes.
It's not difficult.
No.
And now we've already got strange cars, like, doing the 2-mile-an-hour cruise.
Yeah.
In front of them, which is bad for them, because we still have the tent and other stuff up, so they can't really see.
Yeah. Which, I like having the tent up so that they can't see and I don't have to worry about the door being open.
Keeping the garage door closed or having the outside L pieces up or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so anyways, we're already getting that. But this is the time of year people see what we're putting into the haunt and they always ask us the same question, why don't you go pro?
Right. Now, I will say also, this, I was actually recognized at Home Depot last weekend when we were picking up the shed that we built. Yes. So,
sorry, you said shit and I got like a little twitch in my eye.
I know, like, I'm sorry.
I'm staring at my hands and legs, which are cut up.
Yeah, I don't know how you got that cut up.
But it's like I go through all of haunt season with next to no cuts.
I know. But anyway, I was getting the truck for it and a lady walks up and says, hey, do you live on Vivian Court? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, do you still do the haunted house? And I'm like, yeah, we do. So the story is she and her husband used to come every year, but then they had a kid, so they couldn't come, and now the kid's 7. So they're going to come back for the first time in 7 years. So that's like an awesome thing.
Yeah, to be recognized after that long is kind of surreal, actually.
Yeah.
Like you said, 7 years. And that is one of the things I really do enjoy seeing is we've been at this now. This will be our 12th season.
Right.
We have people who literally grew up with us.
Mm-hmm.
Like they came to our haunt when they were like 10 or 11 or 10 or 12 or so. And they literally, through their teenage years, were coming here. And now they've had kids.
Right.
And they're like, we want the little Timmy here to have his first haunt experience at Bernie Baxter's.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
I love that. That's what keeps me going in a lot of ways.
Right.
But yeah, we get this question about, why don't you go pro?
Yeah.
And the question is usually said with all the best intentions and all the highest praise.
Right.
It oftentimes, the most common time I hear it as the front of house guy is when people are leaving the haunt.
Right.
And they look around and they go, man, you guys need to go pro.
Yeah.
You guys don't need to be in a garage. You need to go pro. You need to go pro. You need to go pro. You need to make money doing this.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's a compliment. It's high praise.
Yeah. They're
complimenting our build, our scares, what we do. They like what we do. They want us to see us do something bigger and make more money. And,
right. Be successful.
Be successful at it. Yeah. But usually it comes from people who don't understand the haunted attraction industry very well.
Right.
Because here's the thing. We have worked at pro haunts, charity haunts.
Yeah.
We have seen the challenges firsthand in many cases. A lot of these challenges we've observed firsthand and have tried to help some of our pro haunter friends through.
Right.
We're fully aware of the difficulties and challenges and struggles of opening a pro haunt. And yeah, it makes us a little bit antsy about the possibility of doing it.
Yeah.
So here's what we're going to do. We came up with 5 big overarching reasons.
Yeah.
We don't go pro.
Yeah.
What we're going to do is we're going to list the reasons, we're going to explain the reasons, and then we're going to say, well, if we wanted to deal with it, how would we? Yeah. And then to kind of wrap it up, and that'll be the podcast.
Yes.
That's what I'm looking
for. So that sounds interesting to you. Stick around.
Yeah, stick around. If not, hey, you got your conference reminders.
Your conference reminders. You've got all of our old podcasts, which can be found
at HauntWeekly.com.
Yes.
As well as iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, all that jazz.
Too. Exactly. So pick a different one.
Yeah, pick a different one.
Or, you know, stick around and listen to our reasons.
Yes. But anyways, the reason number one, and this is admittedly the most choking hurdle in some ways for
right.
us. Because it just is.
Yeah.
It's money.
Yeah. I mean, that's a big one for a lot of people. That's not just us.
And to illustrate the point of how big of an issue this is, I attended a class with Leonard Pickle about opening a Pro Haunt.
Right.
HauntCon 3 years ago?
Yeah, something like that.
3, 4 years
yeah.
ago, something like that. Anyways, and one of the first things he said, and like literally the class is like 5 minutes in, it was like a two-hour, three-hour seminar or something like that.
Right.
One of the first things he said, like first 5 minutes of the conference is, I'm not going to tell you where to get the money for your haunt, because I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And if Leonard Pickle doesn't know,
yeah,
what flipping chance does Jonathan Bailey have?
Zero.
Yeah. Because here's the thing. Opening a haunt is expensive.
Yeah.
We have run several projections and business models. We do this semi-regularly. It's kind of become a sport among us.
Well, yeah, but it's you know, we have the dream, but then we have all of these reasons not to, and so yeah. we do it out of curiosity.
And yeah, we do it, though, and we run these numbers for opening a modest haunt that would satisfy us.
Right.
And we're not talking about the second coming of the house,
another house of Shot,
or the mortuary.
We're only talking a couple thousand square feet,
yeah,
really.
We're talking a modest haunt. We're looking at somewhere, ideally I would like to shoot in the 4,000 to 6,000 square foot range.
Right.
I think that'd be a good amount. Between building supplies, rent, everything, the best estimate in marketing, because God, you got to have the marketing, right?
Yeah.
The best we've been able to come up with is right around $100,000.
Yeah.
Sometimes a little more, sometimes a little less, but it's in that ballpark.
Right.
And we actually have a leg up on this because we have friends locally in the real estate business, and we have access to doing real estate searches and finding out what people are wanting. And we know we can get a special deal. We know various things. You know, we know there are ways to lower these costs.
Right.
But we're still talking, probably even after doing that, over 75 grand.
Yeah.
And that is way more than what we've got. To give you an idea, our current yearly budget for the haunt
right.
is under 3K.
Yes. Plus another bit for haunt visits.
Oh, yeah. Haunt visits is a separate thing.
Yeah.
Haunt season is expensive for us.
Yes,
you know?
it is.
But we try to keep it under 3K, and in the past few years, we've kept it under 2K. And part of that is just because we have 10 plus years of work in that haunt, and we're masters at reusing stuff.
Oh, yeah.
We make our props last, we make our walls last, we make our decorations last, and when we change themes, and which we do every year, we find ways to repurpose. I think there's one set of curtains we bought at Goodwill that we're using again this year.
Right.
That we've used like every year somewhere the last 7 years as decoration.
Yeah.
They look really cool.
Yeah. I don't put them in the same room.
Yeah, you don't put them in the same room.
We just move them around somewhere else and it works.
Well, they're black and white curtains. They kind of fit just about anything you want to do.
Yeah.
They can go around just about any window.
Yeah.
But the point of the matter is, yeah. So we're looking at something that's easily 20 to 30 times our current budget.
Right.
We don't have that money.
No.
You know, we're not paupers by any stretch. We're homeowners. Both of us have good jobs.
Yeah.
We're doing well for ourselves.
Right.
But that's beyond our means.
Yeah.
And the other problem is that the type of haunt we're shooting for here is a middle-tier haunt.
Right.
Something that sits between like the pop-up and the low-end charity haunt and the ultra-high-end haunt. And
right.
that is a struggling range in this region.
It is.
I can only name one haunt that really fits into that.
Yeah, and they were able to get into the black last year, but it's always a wonder and a struggle for them to do so.
They are really, really struggling, and you know, some of the problems I'll say are self-inflicted wounds.
Right.
I won't get too deep into it.
No.
there are pitfalls they fell into that we would avoid.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's still a struggling market.
Right.
Because we as an this area, Southeast Louisiana and the Gulf Coast region in general, is dominated by very, very large haunts.
Yes.
And very, very, like...
I mean, we've got three that make list, national list, yeah, within 45-minute drive of
and
us.
I've got to say, I hear about, like, the Ohio Valley area.
Right.
Which has this wide breadth of haunts.
Right.
Various sizes.
Right.
And I just, I drool a little because yeah, it's like, we don't have that here.
No.
We have a handful of really major haunts. Mind you, they are great haunts.
Yeah.
Not knocking any of them.
Nope.
But, yeah, and it's just, we don't get that middle tier where a lot of the creativity comes from.
Right.
It seems like. So that's frustrating. So, yeah, but for us, it's just a very difficult path from home haunter to successful pro haunter.
Yeah, and I think that's a difficult path for anyone.
Yeah.
I don't know very many people who have been able to do it successfully.
I would agree with that. And because of that difficulty, though, it's very difficult to get bank loans and investors.
Right.
Because it's a high-risk thing.
Yeah.
I mean, let me put it like this. If an investor came forward today...
Yeah.
And said, okay, we're willing to give you the $100,000.
Right.
And we're the perfect investor. We're like all the stuff we're going to talk about in a minute. Sure.
Right.
I'd be like, okay, we're going to open up a haunt probably in 2 years.
Yeah.
It probably won't be able to get it ready for 2018. We might.
Yeah.
We'll shoot for it, but 2019 definitely. And there's a chance you'll never see any of that money back because
yeah,
it's such a high risk. And it's a tough sale.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, you just have to give us money because you want to give us money.
Yeah, it's what it comes down to. Now, here's the thing. Here's how we could solve the money issue.
Right.
There's multiple ways. This is actually the problems we have, the most solvable.
Right.
As odd as $100,000 sounds like a solvable problem,
right,
it is. We could, for one, we have met with people who could theoretically put up the investment.
Yeah.
We do know several people with the resources
yeah,
and have expressed some interest, and we've just never really... engaged.
Yeah.
We never really got a business plan. We never did our end of the stuff. They
right,
expressed some interest. We just kind of never picked it up. Part of it was because they're friends and that's
yeah,
always a little weird.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's always, I just feel kind of icky about that. I
right,
can't really pinpoint why. The other thing we could do is local charities are ripe for partnerships.
Right.
I attended a haunt con 2 years ago, I think it was,
mm-hmm,
a really great thing about how to partner with a charity to launch your haunt.
Right.
And it was a brilliant idea. Get a charity, get the 501(c), and all that jazz. And basically, have them handle the finding the location, getting you discounts on building supplies and all
right,
that. And basically just 51% of the profits goes to them. You keep together 49% is your cut.
Right.
And the haunt's expenses are the haunt's expenses.
Yeah. And the haunt gets to keep all of the things that they bring.
Yeah. And that's the thing you have to make sure is in that contract.
Yeah, because I do know of one haunt that ran into an issue when they parted ways with the charity. And the
yeah,
charity's like, no, that's our stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, no, it's ours. And then there was this big battle, so.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is a possibility. There are a lot of local charities that I'm pretty sure would be eager for that.
Right.
And we are a city that's got a lot of charities that are definitely big enough
yeah,
to do that, too.
And there are a couple that are actually targeted fairly well for a haunt.
Yeah.
That work with kids and the teens and things like that.
Yeah. So there's definitely a charity route we could go to eliminate the money question.
Right.
Also, Crystal may be our greatest asset.
Yay!
Because we would qualify as a women-owned business.
Right.
And that would qualify us for grants and other assistance.
Yeah.
And so that could be a huge help. And, you know, a $100,000 small business grant isn't impossible.
No, it's not. Especially not since we've shown steady growth over 12 years with our haunts.
Yeah. We've shown that we can do it. We've shown what we can do with no money.
Right.
So... You know, there'd be reason for them to take a risk.
Yeah.
So that's also possible. So there's three very good ways we could solve that problem. Basically, there are ways.
Yes.
We can solve that problem. We just haven't.
Right.
That's what it comes down to. Reason number two.
Two.
Creative control. This one is a big one for us.
Yeah.
One of the reasons we stopped working at haunts...
Right.
And started building a haunt was, A, we wanted to see if we could build a haunt.
Yeah.
Because that's what you do.
Yeah.
But also, we liked the idea of taking creative control.
Right.
We had ideas we wanted to see become real.
Yeah.
And by grabbing the plywood, grabbing the 2x4s,
right,
we could do that.
Right. And, you know, it's something that we talk about all the time, even before an hour every week on the podcast. We talk about all the time scares and how to build them and what actually is effective and what's not effective but people think works. And so it's something that we've just had as part of our couple culture since the beginning.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And here's the thing. We actually worked at a pro haunt that had a quote-unquote silent partner.
Right.
This was the money man. He's just bringing the cash. He's not right. changing anything with the haunt. He's just there for that. Yeah, you know what? It never works out quite that way.
No, it doesn't.
It did not for that haunt, and I have not seen it work out that way for others. The impact varies, but there's always an impact.
Right.
The impact in what building you buy or rent, whatever.
Right. Your location.
Your location, the impact, the supplies you can buy. They have impacts that maybe they don't see as impacting the creative.
Right.
But do impact the creative, definitely.
Yeah. I would completely agree with that.
So, yeah, if it's our money and our garage, we're in control.
Yes.
And that's a great thing for us. We like that control. We like the ability to say, we want to make this scare.
Yes.
And then we just make this scare.
Exactly.
There's no one there to approve the money. There's no one there to say, you can't do this. As long as it meets fire code compliance, as long as it's safe, we can build the damn scare. How we want.
Exactly.
We like that.
We do. Yeah. You actually are the one that has your feet on the ground when it comes to that.
Yeah, as far as the safety stuff.
Well, and the scares in the building. And how are you actually going to do that?
Yeah, have you actually thought this one through, Crystal? I'm just curious. Describe this. This is something I often do to Crystal is whenever I think she's going off the rails on something. I say, okay, describe how it's going to work in painful detail.
Yeah.
Tell me everything. Because if she can do it, then I'm the idiot. I'm not getting it.
Yeah.
And if she can't, she went off the rails.
Yeah.
And that's how we find out which happened.
Right.
And it's about 50-50, honestly.
Yeah, it is.
She goes off the rails a fair amount.
Dream big.
You dream big, I dream practical, but you know what? That's what makes us a good team.
Yeah.
But anyways, we would lose a great deal of that if we went pro. We prefer to be captains of a small ship rather than board members on a large one.
Definitely.
Now, how could we solve this one?
Yes.
Take the grants. The small business grants would keep us in total control.
Right.
Also, carefully structured partnerships.
Right.
Now, the problem with that is that's going to make getting the money even more difficult because even silent partners still want some control over how their money is spent.
Yep.
And that's understandable. I mean, that's not a small amount of money.
No.
So, yeah, I don't blame them. The other alternative is we could find people that mesh with us and work with us.
Right.
And, like, fit into this weird paradigm we have.
Yeah.
But good luck with that.
Yeah.
It's good luck.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tough thing to do. Finding a third? That's impossible.
Yeah, it is.
Anyways, reason number three, and this is another big one. Headache.
Yeah.
Once you go pro, headaches just start to pile up.
Right.
You've got to deal with building permits, real estate issues, fire code compliance. Interesting fact, we talk about all these haunts in New Orleans.
Right.
Only one of them is located in New Orleans, the mortuary.
Yeah.
The reason, and we've heard this from multiple people now.
Yes.
Is that we have a very strict and very difficult fire marshal in New Orleans.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's in a he or she. I don't know if it's a he or she, honestly.
No, we haven't met them.
Is an inappropriately strict or inappropriately, you know, difficult one. I'm not saying they're not right.
Right.
But basically, haunts tend to move to the other side of the parish line. In fact, two of them, House of Shock and Chamber of Horrors, literally are within walking distance of the parish line.
Right.
Partly for this reason.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a thing. It happens. There's also accounting difficulties. We go from being able to buy crap on a whim and just sort of tally up the budget later at our convenience to having to actually account for every little penny.
Yeah.
We have to think about hiring people, including accountants.
Yes.
To help us keep track of this. Now, we have marketing challenges, too. Our marketing now is like $100 worth of flyers, some flyer runs, and a lot of PR work.
Right.
I'm pretty good at getting us mentions in the news media.
Yeah.
Yeah, that has to ramp up. Now we got to do TV ads. We got to do paid advertisements. Right. We got to do partnerships. We got to do things that we don't have to do now. Basically, the amount of time goes up extremely rapidly.
Right.
This goes from being something that is all-encompassing for us for 2 months or so.
Yeah.
To something that is all-encompassing, as in physically working on it, not just thinking about it.
Right.
And obsessing over it for the entire year.
Right. There's also, whenever you go from giving something free to people for donations to asking people to give you money, that's a hard barrier to get people to go along with.
Yeah.
So the people that come now may not be the people that go if we were to go
pro. We would lose our entire current base. I feel about 100% sure of that.
Yeah.
It would be very difficult to bring the people that come to our haunt now to a paid one, even if it wasn't an expensive paid one.
Right.
And there's a lot of reasons for that. And the responsibility of it, of giving someone a show worth their money.
Yeah.
If someone comes out our haunt now and says, that sucked, I'm like, well, here's your money back.
Yeah. There you go.
Making it rain. And yeah. I can't see, I'm doing the imaginary making it rain, but yeah. But so that's another element of it.
Right.
But basically, you know, you have an increased responsibility and it becomes a job.
Yeah.
And rather than something fun, is the difference between a vocation and an avocation.
Yeah.
Home haunting lets us enjoy the fun parts.
Yes.
We like the building.
Yes.
We like the designing.
Mm-hmm.
We like all that stuff.
Right.
And we can minimize the unpleasant stuff. We still do think about fire code compliance. We still do think about these things.
Right.
But we don't have to go to meetings with a fire marshal. We don't have to be ready for inspections. We don't, you know what I mean?
Right.
We don't have the overhead of being pro with that stuff.
Right.
How we could solve it, going back to that charity angle, if you have a good charity you're partnering with, they can help deal with a lot of that unpleasant stuff. They can help you find a place. They can help you work with a fire marshal.
Right.
They can help you get the permits through their organization. And it's much, much easier for a charity to do it than a new business.
Right. we could also hire someone to handle all that stuff.
Someone,
but like, that means having more money to hire someone to handle all that stuff.
And hiring and a lot more money for something that doesn't necessarily make more money for the haunt.
Right. And doesn't increase the production value or anything like that.
And it's the old adage of you want your money to show in the haunt.
Right.
Well, that would not be a case of that.
No.
I'm not saying those types of consultants, and there are several out there, aren't worth every flipping penny.
No, they are.
They are. They really are.
I don't want to deal with that.
I don't want to deal with it either. But it's a tough pitch to a potential investor is what I'm saying.
Right.
Think, oh yeah, we're going to spend $10,000 or whatever paying this guy to go through all the bullcrap on the backside.
Yeah.
And the customers won't even know it happened.
Yeah.
It's a tough sell.
It is.
All right. Reason number four.
Four.
We love haunt season.
We do.
We really, really love haunt season. Right now, every year, we go to a dozen or more haunts. Our haunt attendance budget pretty closely matches our haunt building budget now.
It does. Yeah. In fact, last year we spent more on haunt visits than we did on the haunt itself. Yeah, just because we were able to reuse something.
Yeah, and that's one of the things is we, and I said 3,000 earlier.
Yeah.
That's kind of the maximum.
Yeah.
And that includes everything from the marketing to the, to any new signage we need and things like that. Like everything for the haunt, not just stuff to go in the haunt.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, we've been coming way in under that lately because we built all the panels we'll ever need.
Yeah.
I don't think we've, honest to God, built a panel in 3 years.
No. No, we've reskinned some because we needed, we started out with Masonite whenever it was cheap and it was readily available in New Orleans.
Yeah, but bear in mind, and this is the point we want to get to on that, this was 2005, 2006 New Orleans, right after Hurricane Katrina. There was no goddamn plywood.
No.
Or no. OSB or anything.
Yeah.
So Masonite was your only choice for anything remotely affordable.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's our excuse for Masoniting.
Yeah, but the last Masonite walls are out of there.
Thank you, Jesus.
And so Yeah, everything's been reskinned and it looks good.
Yeah. So, yeah, we reskin, but we don't really build new frames for the...
No.
For them. So, yeah, we haven't built a whole new panel in probably 3 to 4 years.
Yeah. Now, we'll be building new L pieces this year.
Yeah, I think this will be the first year we built any.
Yeah.
And that's because we're actually converting to, radical idea, outdoor wood for the outdoor portions.
Yeah. Well, used to, you know, they would go up opening day.
Yeah, and come down.
And then come down and go inside.
Yeah.
Right after the 3 days. So we didn't really need it.
No.
But we've gotten into the habit of leaving them up longer.
And the other problem was the haunt build schedule shifted where we had to get them up earlier.
Right.
So they got rained on more and... Yeah, so we're going to just switch to outdoor wood so we don't have to worry about that.
Exactly.
Yeah, but you're absolutely right. And the other problem was when we first started doing that, building the outside front facade for it,
right.
We were just using scrap panels.
Well, yeah.
We were using whatever we could dig up from inside the hall.
Yeah, well, it's not only that, but the 2x4s, it's much more expensive to buy the treated wood than to buy, you know, studs.
Yeah.
And we just didn't have the money at that point.
Yeah. Now, because we're recycling so much,
right.
We have more that we can spend on things like that.
Right.
So anyways, that's another aside.
Yeah, I know. Sorry.
How about that? But yeah, we love going to haunted attractions. We love doing
that.
We do. Halloween season is our Christmas season. Literally. Yeah. Could not care less about Christmas.
No. No.
In fact, Crystal could care less.
Yes.
But it's because it tries to kill her.
Yes, repeatedly.
Repeatedly, literally, I think Christmas has a vendetta against Crystal.
Yeah.
But the point of it is, you know, so we like going to haunts. And yeah, it's a stressful time of year. Yeah, we're working sun up to sundown in the haunt every weekend. Working
right.
every evening. We're doing crazy stuff. But we still get to make time to go to other haunts.
Right.
At least, like I said, a dozen per year. And we love it.
Yeah.
I mean, so yeah, that's something we would lose if we went pro. And, you know, I put, how could we solve it? We can't.
No.
There's no way to solve that one. That one is just a loss.
Yeah.
Now, I will say this. This is why a lot of these Halloween haunted attraction conventions are so popular.
Right.
Like I said earlier, about 90% of the people we know that are pro haunters are going to Legendary Haunt Tour.
Right.
Why? They want to tour some haunts.
Yeah.
They want to see some haunts they didn't get to.
Exactly.
So... I like going to them when they're open.
Yes. That way we can see people's reactions of, you know, customers, of regular customers and not haunters. Because haunters react differently in haunts than customers.
That's because haunters, and I mean, this is just me. I'm admittedly speaking for myself here. But I'm more comfortable in a haunted attraction than I am in my living room.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I would rather be in a haunt than my living room, I believe.
I would agree with that.
So, it's going to be very difficult to scare me because I'm not on edge.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm not saying I can't be God. I'm not Superman.
No. But the other thing is that haunters are looking at things differently. They're looking at your build. They're looking at
how
good your
makeup. Panel style.
Exactly.
And mercilessly.
Yes, because there are some that are weird. it's just...
Some of you, I don't know how the hell some of you guys have a standing structure.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Some of y'all weird.
but yeah, I mean, we're looking at, you know, build stuff and how it's put together and where your scares are and how they play with each other and how your actors are set up to play off of each other. And that's what we're looking at, not necessarily to be scared, which
yeah.
is what the average customer is.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why we love the 13th Gate so much, because
right.
it's so atmospheric, it's so well designed and so well done.
Right.
Is it the scariest haunt we've ever been to?
No.
No. But dear Jesus, it hits the right chords with me.
Yeah, it does. And I like also that it, since there are a lot of people going through, we always get put into a group.
Yeah.
We never are the only two going through. But it's also not a conga line situation where you're going in with hundreds of people at once.
And I gotta say, I love going in with like another couple that's like really scared.
Yeah.
Because they always say the stupidest thing to us.
Yes.
You know what it is.
Yes.
Will you go first?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Because I'm a haunter.
Yeah, exactly.
I know that that's literally the safest place to be.
Yes.
The biggest danger you have being in person in a haunt is you're going to walk into a wall.
Yeah.
God, no one. But no, yeah. They don't see it that way. No. You got first. All right, that's, I'm just going to turn around and watch you get terrified every 30 seconds.
We're just going to signal the actors to get you.
I might have actually done that a few dozen times.
Yeah, me too.
But yeah, so yeah, this is something we would lose, and it's something we cherish and enjoy, and I really don't know how we would replace that.
No.
And reason number five, as we bring this to our conclusions, most likely it wouldn't be our job.
Yeah.
We know a lot of pro haunters through this podcast and just in day-to-day life.
Right.
I can only name one or two that do not have a quote-unquote real job.
Yeah. That it is their full-time job. They're able to make a good living off of it.
Year-round.
Year-round. And that's all they do.
Like, one of the haunters we know, and this is pretty genius, is a landscaper.
Right.
Owns a landscape company by day, haunter by night. And it's really great for him because when haunt season's really kicking off here in New Orleans,
right?
That's when the landscaping business is, you know,
yeah, it's
sliding away. You're not cutting that many yards in October.
No, no, trust the grass me. Just stops growing.
Yeah, it's whatever type of grass they use here, pretty much just dies.
Yeah,
right around October 1st.
Yep.
And I know this because every year we have to mow for our yard display. We get the mower out, we cut it down super low.
Yep.
And then it doesn't grow.
Yeah.
We put the display up and we never have to touch up.
Right.
In fact, the one time it did grow was because we put dirt in front of the tombstones to give it a little more real cemetery feel. Yeah. And then a little grass sprouted up in the dirt.
Yeah.
I was like, God damn it.
Yeah.
The one place.
Yeah.
But yeah. But most people we know do not make enough money to justify the haunt. I mean, they make enough money to justify the haunt, rather, and to keep the lights on,
right.
But they need more income to keep themselves and their families alive.
Right. Pay those bills.
And this includes owners of very large, very major haunts.
Right.
This is not just, you know, Joe Tiny Haunter here. This
no.
is some very, very large, recognizable haunts. Even the higher-ups in it have, quote-unquote, real jobs.
Yeah.
And that is just banana pants. They could run a multi-million dollar haunt.
Yeah.
And still need to be something else to eat.
Yeah.
We don't really have an interest in taking on a second full-time job.
No.
We do well enough in our first full-time job, and anyone who has seen my full-time job knows it pretty much is two full-time jobs.
It is. Christ.
I work way too much.
You do.
So, yeah, I don't really have interest in taking on another full-time job. We kind of like having what little social life we have.
Yeah.
We like going to karaoke on Tuesdays, goth night on Thursdays,
yeah.
and knitting on Wednesdays, and
yeah.
all that stuff. Or for me, it's lock picking on Wednesdays, but...
Yeah, but it's only for a short amount of time each day.
Yeah. But yeah, we do these things.
And even those are going to fall off in the next month.
Yeah.
Because we'll be too busy working out there.
Yeah, we're going to lose our social life anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is another one there's just no way around.
No.
If we were to open up a haunt that we could practically, reasonably open...
Yeah.
We would be taking on full-time jobs, both of us.
Yeah.
And there's no reason to believe it would replace, supplant, or exceed our current full-time jobs.
No, there's no reason to think in the first year or two that it would even break even.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times it
they don't,
it,
yeah,
new businesses don't.
Yeah, and that's just it. Even if we could make it our sole job,
yeah,
it would be several years down the line,
right?
Probably,
yeah.
And I just don't have an interest in working two full time jobs.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So, anyways, wrapping this up, I know all of this sounds like we're really negative Nancy's about going pro,
right?
But we're answering the question that we get asked why we don't go pro. We're not
right.
really against the idea of going pro.
No, and it's not only something that we get asked, but it's something that we ask ourselves a lot
mm-hmm.
because it's you know, we've got an opportunity, so we've looked at it and we've had to really go in depth with each other about why don't we do it.
And there were a couple years. Not super recently, but in the not too distant past.
Right.
Where we said, okay, this is the year, we're wrapping up season, and then we're starting the ball rolling going pro.
Right.
And we said it, we got our, enlisted some friends, we said this is what we need, and we started working on it, and then we just kind of looked at each other and said, you know, do we really feel like doing this?
Yeah.
And we both kind of said no, and then we're like, well, why?
Yeah.
Why are we suddenly, after enthusiasm for like 3 months,
right,
dropping the dog here a little bit?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's that type of thing. We're not against going pro.
No.
We would probably do it.
Yeah.
If the right situation arose.
Yeah.
The sacrifice of haunt season and even the second job thing would probably be worth it to us if we could have a haunt that was successful and that we were proud of.
Yeah.
Not that we aren't proud of the haunt we have now.
No.
But if we could have the haunt we want,
right,
it would be worth it.
Yeah, it would.
But the problem is there are a lot of hurdles and risks between us and getting there, so we're not actively seeking it out.
Right.
If Mr. Moneybags shows up at our door and wishes to shove like those bags with dollar bills on them,
yeah,
in their face and say, "Here, sir, I'm Monocle Man. Here you go. Here's some money. Open up yourself a haunt."
Yes.
We'd probably do it.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we would.
Yes. But yes, if that happened,
now I'm going to naff off to the Caribbean for a few years and not even check up on you, and we'll see how you do.
Yeah.
We'd probably do it.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, if it was enough to cover my salary, I may even consider, you know, quitting my job to do that.
Yeah. So we're not against the idea of doing it. It's just we're not actively seeking it out either.
Right.
If, you know, hey, if you, dear listener, wish to invest, hey, are you crazy?
You haven't even seen our haunt.
You haven't even seen our haunt.
Probably.
But please feel free to come by and investigate.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, if like you wanted to invest, we would probably be willing to talk about it.
Oh, yeah.
We're not seeking it out, though. It's not something we're actively looking to do. So it's one of those weird things where it's like, yeah, this is why we're not seeking it out.
Right.
But if it fell in our lap, we wouldn't be, we would jump on it, but we're not going to feel sad about what we have.
No.
I'm really proud of what we've done.
Yeah.
I'm really proud of the growth we've had over the past 10 years.
Right.
We have gone from a really, really short, really crappy haunt.
Yeah.
To one that I'm very, very proud of.
Yeah. I would stack our set design and scares up against medium tiers.
Yeah. And some of the sets we've done have been competing as high tiers.
I know. But I didn't want to say that out loud, but yes.
Not all of them. And I admit that. With some of them, we need to work on our consistency.
Right.
But like last year, the diner room we built.
Right.
I remember walking into that and thinking, wow, this is on par with anything I've seen at almost any haunt. This one room.
Yeah.
Admittedly, it's just one room.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's on par. It holds its own. It would fit in just about anywhere.
Right.
Now, the secret is now we've got to do that for 13 more rooms.
Yeah. Well, not 13, but yes.
However many more rooms if we want to do it for Pro Haunt, you know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
We would have to do this replicate it for 13 to 20 more rooms. So that's the challenge.
Given money and time.
It can be done.
Yeah.
We've got the skills now. I feel comfortable about that. It's a money, time, and availability issue more than anything right now. So yeah, if the opportunity knocked, we'd likely jump, but we're not going to sit there and try to force opportunity's hand. We're happy where we are, and while we would definitely love to do it, we also kind of love where we're at.
Yeah.
And it seems like there's a lot in the way between us getting to a pro haunt that doesn't get us significantly happier.
Right. Exactly.
Is the problem. Maybe even not happier at all. Maybe just, you know, bigger.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, do you think we would be happier with a pro haunt?
I don't know. I know that we lose some recognition being home haunters versus pro haunters.
Apparently some people think we're just reviewers.
Yes, I know. Yes. Yeah. But we're not. We do other things too, like this.
Yes. And run a haunt.
But no, I mean, there is that. And I think that people don't understand what we say whenever we say we're home haunt.
Yeah.
Because we're home haunt, but we build to pro standards.
Yes.
So people expect us to have plastic walls and things, like the photographer last year who came by for the interview for the newspaper. They sent a photographer. She's like, "This is not what I expected at all."
No.
And I'm like, yeah, it's we put a lot of work into it.
When she came by, we were mounting the drop ceiling.
Yeah.
Weren't we?
Yeah.
I did love that. It's too bad we couldn't reuse it, because we had a really, in the diner sequence, we were just talking, one of the things we did, we built a drop ceiling.
Right.
And made it look really messed up. Got the tiles, like, broke them and angled them and twisted them and had big holes in the ceiling.
Right.
It was so cool.
Yeah.
It looked so great.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, but yeah, she stepped in and, like, she couldn't believe it. And that's, we get that reaction from the customers.
Yeah.
Because they come and they see that it's at a house, it's in a garage, and they're like, oh, this is just some little cheesy kitty thing.
Yeah.
And then they come in, they find actual damn construction, actual sets, well-built scares.
Right. A dozen...
actors.
Around a dozen actors.
And they often come out with very different opinions than they went in.
Right.
And I've got to say, that is another element we didn't actually discuss in the notes that I do like. I do like that because we're home haunters, we can really surprise people.
Yes. If they have never been to our house before, they don't know what they're in for.
Especially
because we intentionally keep the yard display, because we do have a large yard display.
Yes.
You're not going to miss us. We keep it kid friendly and we keep it kind of silly and cheesy.
And funny.
And funny.
It's lighthearted.
It is. Because it's a trick or treat area on Halloween night only.
Yeah. And. Yeah, and that's something we can do as home haunters that we can't do as pro haunters.
Right.
Is shove down expectations deliberately. Yeah,
exactly.
We can really play with that because it's like, okay, the outside, the tunnel, everything is geared toward people thinking, this is cheesy, this is stupid.
Yeah.
Then they get in and the world's turned on its head.
Yeah.
It's a professionally built haunt. It's framed. It's built with panels.
Yeah.
It's painted. It's designed. Has actual props, actual scares.
Yeah.
It's the real deal.
Right.
And, yeah, it's only 2.5 to 3 minutes long.
Right.
But damn does it get some people.
Yeah.
And I love that. And then that's just another thing, is if we had to do with the pro haunt, you've got to shift it. Because now the marketing is all about not necessarily what gets the best reactions.
Right.
It's what sells the tickets.
Right.
And, I mean, I'm always talking about selling tickets on this podcast.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing, is my day job, I'm a businessman.
Yeah.
I'm all about the Benjamins, I'm all about making the money, I'm all about getting the sales.
Yeah.
I'm all about that.
Yeah.
It's one of the other things I like about being a homeowner, is I don't have to be all about that.
Right.
But anyways, so the marketing would have to change. We would have to say, oh yes, we're super scary, we're real. We have to build up expectations.
Yeah.
To get people to come by and take a chance on us, and then you risk letting people down.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. There's a lot of things. I think I like being an over-the-top home haunter.
Right.
I think it's obvious that our reputation is getting to be very well known.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's just, would I turn down going pro? Probably not.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm not ready to seek it yet.
Yeah.
I wouldn't turn down the opportunity, though. But anyways, that's all we have for that. What do you think of our reasons? Are they good reasons? Are they bad reasons? Are we idiots? Are we missing out on the wonderful world of going pro?
Yeah.
Or are we right? Should we stay? Let us know on Facebook at Haunt Weekly, at Twitter at Haunt Weekly. Send us your thoughts on this. I mean, one of the reasons we're doing this topic is to get thoughts on it.
Yeah.
Have
you gone pro from being a home haunter? Did you encounter any of these issues?
Yeah.
How did you overcome them?
Yeah, if you overcame them, what did you do?
And do you want to come on the show and talk about it? Because we'd love to have you.
Yeah, we're trying to line up a lot of interviews. Screw you, Irma.
Yeah.
For messing up some of our plans, but we will definitely be having interviews in short order. But yeah, I mean, this is a conversation we've had every year.
Yeah.
For at least the past 8 years.
Yes. Yes. Should we go pro? And is this the year we quit? Because those are the two things that come up. And it's always no and no.
No.
So
there you go. Well, on that note, everyone, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this was Haunt Weekly episode number 93, Why We Don't Go Pro. We will see you guys next time.